make sure she was okay. When she finally called it quits and stopped the lawnmower in the middle of the yard, my alarm became warranted. She bent over, coughing and wheezing, and it was then that I walked over to her, scared shitless. "Hey, are you okay?" I asked her, from a far enough distance back, as not to scare her. She looked up, giving me only her light green eyes, and nodded.
"Yes, I just have asthma, and I'm pretty sure I have a cold. Normally I wear a face mask, but I forgot."
I remembered the face mask. She looked ridiculous with it on, and I'd always wondered why she wore it. Asthma was a good explanation, though. "Do you need something?" I asked in concern when she dropped to her knees.
Inhaler, she wheezed. "Purse, on table."
I left her there on her knees and walked straight into their house. The little fucker playing Call of Duty didn't even look up as I walked straight through the living room to the kitchen table. Grabbing the pink polka-dotted purse, I dumped its contents on the table. Fishing through the sheer amount of shit, I finally found two inhalers, one brown and one red. Fisting them both in my hand, I walked out of the house, directly between the TV and the man playing his war game. He snarled but didn't say anything as I hurried back outside, finding the woman on her hands and knees, trying her hardest to take a deep breath. "Red or brown?" I asked as I dropped down to my knees beside her. Her answer was to grab the brown one, uncap it, and take two puffs. Long moments later, her breathing began to slow, and she pulled a long, deep pull of air into her lungs. She repeated this two more times as she looked at the grass. On her third deep inhale, her head finally lifted, and her eyes locked on my own. Then she froze. "Yeah, that was normally the reaction I got out of people, at least lately. I was undercover for the Benton Police Department trying to take down Varian Strong. Strong was a suspected rapist and a dealer in the area. I said suspected very loosely. We all knew he did it, we just couldn't prove it. The BPD had six women come forward with their suspicions, yet not one single shred of evidence could point towards him. He'd been questioned, warrants had been served, and wiretaps were put on his phone, which had been monitored nearly 24/7 for 3 months before they made the decision to put someone undercover in his construction business. What better way to do that than making someone look like a druggie wanting his next hit of meth? Someone desperate. Someone who'd look the other way when their boss did something shady. Yeah, that's what I looked like. Long, shaggy hair down to my shoulders, bruises and needle sticks from sterilized needles at the bends of my elbows and in the webbing of my fingers. Shitty clothes that hung off my form. I was big, though, no doubt about it. I couldn't hide the muscle with anything else but baggy clothes. I looked like a vagrant. Then her eyes locked on the scar on my neck, the one I'd gotten when I was 16, when a gang member from my hometown slit my throat for his initiation into a gang that I was trying to get out of, a gang that didn't let people just leave. I'd survived having my throat sliced open because of a police officer, the local gang officer that had cruised the gang's territory trying to keep gang activity to a minimum. He'd saved me with his quick thinking and kept an eye on me for the duration of my high school years. Oh, and married my single mother. He was also now my stepfather. Trying to do him proud, I joined the Coast Guard and went to school to get my paramedic degree. After 6 years in the Coast Guard, I got out when my mom got sick and got triple certified as a firefighter, paramedic, and police officer. I moved to Benton because of its nearly non-existent gang activity. I didn't want to deal with gangs, but I did want to make the town and the surrounding area better. Going undercover wasn't my original goal, but over time it was certainly a bonus. I became good at being a different person. Or maybe I was just that person trying not to be me. I mean, I was in a gang for 5 years. I lived on the streets while my mother worked her ass off at a diner working the night shift. I was most definitely not supervised, which is what led to my destruction at the ripe old age of 11.
Thank you,
she said after a while, finally finding her voice. No problem, I said, and walked away, leaving her there in the grass. Her eyes were terror-filled, and I knew she wouldn't be able to walk with me that close. She was in a vulnerable position, sick and scared. I gave her the only reassurance I could. My back.
Chapter 2. I don't always find a series I like on Netflix.